Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for May 11th, 2007. This week, Justin Warner is going to tell us why baby boy births are on the decline. But first, Chelsea Wald answers this question about becoming the ultimate bionic person.
We got this call from Adam of Plattsburgh, New York.
I'm just wondering if it's possible to have a metal skeleton like the ones in the Terminator movies and still be alive.
We asked bioengineer Gordon Blunn of the Institute of Orthopedics at University College London. He says they routinely switch out the long, relatively simple bones in the limbs and digits with metal substitutes, but replacing intricate bones like the spine and the skull is extremely difficult.
I mean, we can replace parts of the skull, for example. We can put plates on the skull. We can replace parts of the jaw. To do the whole thing, it would be impossible at the moment.
And it's not just an engineering challenge. You'd have to be a superhero just to survive a full skeleton replacement.
I mean, could you imagine the trauma of having your whole skeleton replaced by metal parts? It would be huge. You'd be forever in the operating theatre, forever recovering from operations. And the trauma to your body would be massive.
And if you still think there's a chance you could just maybe pull through, there's a clincher. Bones help make blood, so replacing your whole skeleton with metal would leave you without any. Sorry, Adam, and sorry, Terminator. Our question line is 1-800-WHY-IS-IT, and our website is scienceupdate.com. If we answer your question, you'll win a Science Update Smarten Up mug.
Thanks, Chelsea. In the future, neurologists may stockpile canisters of nasty odors, like those of pungent cheese, rotten meat, or skunk. They'd be used to screen for degenerative brain diseases like Alzheimer's. University of Cincinnati psychologist Robert Frank says the sense of smell is often a first casualty of these diseases. So he and biologist Robert Justeland invented a simple sniff test.
And it's all based on the observation that if you're sniffing and you don't encounter a smell, you take bigger sniffs than when you're sniffing and you do encounter a smell.
Their device measures the air pressure created by a sniff and compares how hard a patient sniffs at a strong odor versus an empty canister. They use all kinds of smells, but Frank says unpleasant odors are especially useful.
If you just reflect on your experience in life imagine yourself testing the milk for whether it's sour or entering into a public restroom that's particularly odoriferous, you can appreciate that those kinds of smells are very effective at suppressing your desire to sniff.
If the patient sniffs just as hard at odors like that as he does at any empty canister, further testing would determine whether it's a result of nasal problems, simple aging, or the start of more serious brain damage. Next, Justin Warner tells us about a decline in the number of baby boy births.
Since 1970, over a quarter of a million fewer boys were born in the U.S. and Japan than expected. This according to a study led by epidemiologist Deborah Lee Davis at the University of Pittsburgh Schools of the Health Sciences. Although there are still slightly more boys born than girls, Davis says the gap appears to be narrowing across all industrialized nations from an expected 1.05:1 ratio to about 1.046:1. That may sound small, but Davis says it's actually quite substantial given the time span and the population size. What's more, an increasing proportion of fetal deaths are male. The data alone can't say why.
But I think it's pretty clear that whatever is going on here is principally working through the male. Fathers are more important because the fertilizing sperm determines the sex of an embryo.
Davis suspects that environmental contaminants may be to blame, noting that many regional exposures to pesticides, solvents, and heavy metals have been followed by fewer male births and sharp increases in male fetal death and birth defects. She says these chemicals may damage fragile Y-chromosome sperm and interfere with male development. In fact, she says this may be part of a larger trend of declining male health that affects adult men as well.
And what we are finding is that in the same areas where you see this reduction in sex ratio, we're also showing lower testosterone in men. Military recruits in Denmark have 50% lower sperm count now than they did 20 years ago. We're seeing more baby boys born with undescended testes and splits in the penis that require surgical correction. We're seeing a 50% increase in testicular cancer. And of course, we have an increase in prostate cancer, even above that we see from improving the ability to detect it.
More details about the study are available at environmentaloncology.org.
Thanks, Justin. Let's say you're late for a meeting and you start to run across the street. Out of the corner of your eye, you see a speeding car, and in a flash, your brain puts on the brakes and you stop in your tracks. Using brain imaging, researchers have now identified white, high-speed bundles of nerves in the brain responsible for this life-saving response. They say the same system is what makes us bite our tongues just before we say something awkward and even stops us from engaging in enticing but destructive behaviors. In other brain news, British researchers have found that being infected with a type of bacterium found in soil could make us happier. The bacteria activate brain cells that secrete the mood-enhancing chemical serotonin. The team plans to further study the microbe and the brain cells it affects. Finally, Chelsea's here to tell us more about how our minds work.
There's a Robin Hood hidden inside many of us. That's according to political scientist James Fowler of the University of California, San Diego. Fowler randomly assigned volunteers in a study to be poor, middling, or rich. Surprisingly, more than half of them were willing to spend their own money to make the poor in the group richer or the rich poorer. Fowler says this shows people care about equality and will act when they know they're anonymous.
So in the real world, oftentimes when you're deciding whether or not to punish the rich, you're including in that decision the fact that, well, they're rich, and they also have more power and a greater ability to get back at you if you were to do something bad to them.
He says the voting booth is one of the few places people can release their inner Robin Hoods without fear of retribution.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll answer a listener's question about the closest living relative to dinosaurs. In the meantime, visit us online at scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, The Science Society.